Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Shall we?
Yes.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Let us go, you and I.
Into the road.
This wonderful Tuesday morning. And good morning, running commentary.
Hello, we're going to go for a lovely long trot. Paul's just had a nice idea. It's Palace to Palace today. We're going from Alexandra Palace to Kenwood House. And although Kenwood House is a house in name, it is a palace.
Yes. Yeah.
So let's do it. And then run on down to Crystal Palace.
Little chill run, yeah. And then to the... And then back to some racing stones. Just give it another go.
Yeah, go on. Let's go round again.
How have you been feeling since that first? Did you get a sense of ultra bubble at all? Did you get a kind of post run satisfaction you must have had a level of satisfaction of a job well done.
Great. Absolutely great. But it was almost immediate. Last time I saw you and bless you, dear listener, I was so relieved to have this outlet to kind of tell my story.
Yeah.
There's the palace, there's Ali Pali up on the hill. And then I just wanted to tell everyone, and I resist the urge, really. I wasn't going on about it to people unless they asked,
Yes, yeah.
And then, of course, as discussed, the conversation was, what are you going to do next? I was like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do next. And then that kind of settles down. I went out. Yeah. I had a week off because I was off doing gigs.
Right.
But I didn't feel physically...
So you didn't run for a week, sort of thing?
Didn't run for a week.
That's
except
good.
When we ran.
Yeah, that's good. That's
run, walk 3 miles.
I think that's the right call for you.
And then at the beginning of last week, I thought, I'm getting back into it now. I don't want to lose my fitness.
Yeah.
So I went out. And, you don't know because you were in a hot country.
Yeah.
But this country, Monty, this country was as... hot as it ever has ever been.
Yeah.
I went out and it was running around Hackney Marshes. It was absolutely lovely and I went out quite early, but it's watching the temperature climb.
Yeah.
And I sort of went out in 28 degrees and
right.
got home in 33.
Yeah.
And I ran long. Felt cool. Great.
Nice.
I did that the next day too.
Right.
And then I felt a bit tired and a bit leggy. I thought, ease up.
There's no need to push it.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm still, at the back of my mind, I suppose, I've got this weird race of stones related, but actually not. I was doing it anyway. This small blind, big blind running where I do couple of long runs at the beginning of the week.
Right, okay.
And then take it easy and do
and then just chill for a little
whatever
bit.
I want to do for the rest of the week.
Right.
And then I went back to parkrun on Saturday.
At Highbury? And,
yeah.
I saw the photos.
It was good.
Yeah.
Once again, loads of people there, I think because Ali Pali was off.
Right.
And it's funny how, I don't know if it's because it's hilly, but then Ali Pali's really hilly.
Yeah.
But anyway, when the other people from the other parkruns come, there's always some really serious runners.
Okay,
that aren't there normally.
Okay.
Basically, I'm talking running club kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? Heathside, Highgate mob.
They're all coming in at sort of 16, 17 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, okay. Yeah. And it's exactly the same run, but it does put you in a kind of context.
It changes the changes the context of it a little bit.
And but the main thing that was interesting, just like the reason I'm talking about it, is because it sort of answered. It's where I got to in terms of the initial answer to your question. Is I got up on Saturday and I thought, oh, I do not want to go to Parkrun. And it was different. It was the same because I never want to go to Parkrun on Saturday. But it was different because it was spiritual. Like, I've got no hunger.
Right.
You know, the whole get 100 Parkruns done before my birthday.
Right.
That is not something I'm of a mood to... Oh, you're reversing it.
Yeah, it's not something to be bothered about at the moment.
Yeah, I just don't touch, you know, or anything else. You know,
The up
and the downside is that I've got no running ambition.
I think it's okay to sit with that for a while, though.
Oh, absolutely.
And just be in that space,
you know what I mean? I think in principle it's fantastic, and I think in practice it's handleable, not least because you know me.
Yeah.
I'm bullishly obstinate.
Yeah.
And I thought, even though this feeling of not wanting to go to the Parkrun feels like a different kind of not wanting to go, you've got plenty of experience of not going to Parkrun when you don't want to go. So I just went.
Yeah.
And that's the basic guide, is just, I'll keep on doing what I'm doing like a strict machine.
Even if you don't want to.
Because who cares? And that comes to the basic truth of what I love about running is that it makes your emotions and your thoughts and feelings and your happy days and your sad days, it just makes them, gives them less power.
Yes, because so you've got a constant through
saying
it.
Saying to myself, who cares what I think?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I don't, no one does.
And did you enjoy the park run? Was it good fun?
Yeah, I've got, much more prosaically, I'm not 100%, I've got achy thighs.
Yeah.
Achy thighs, and I went out
You're
there.
Bound to, aren't you?
It was very similar to
You're bound to after the
last park run I did before the race of stones, in that I knew I wasn't, I thought to myself, oh, I might take it slow, I might even just jog around.
Right.
And then I get there and I don't, and I try and do my...
I don't know why I've stopped there, sorry. I'm sorry.
That's cross.
We sort of stopped in a weird place.
We went just past the crossing and then stopped across.
Yeah.
We made the bus driver.
And now we're in the middle of the road, yeah. Here we go. Thank you.
So, well done. But, in the event, I just do the park run feeling slightly down on myself for not being at 100% fitness.
Right.
And as such, it's absolutely fine coming in about, 30 seconds to a minute slower than my fastest run this year.
Yeah, that's
fine. That's all right. That's all in the zone.
Absolutely is, and it's sort of
exacerbated by children coming past me as if they're on motorbikes.
Yeah,
damn it.
Yeah, getting you. It's always a bit galling if you're getting lapped, isn't it? I mean, it's going to happen if people are doing 15, 16 minute part runs.
I saw that guy again, the guy who did 15:03.
Oh yeah, Sefu.
That's right. He got his PB 14:55.
Wow.
I haven't checked the results because I know the last time he went sub 15. It was the only park run I've ever seen where he came second. I think we were talking about that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's impressive. It'd be good if he got his sub 15 just off his own bat. I didn't see anyone there faster than him, so it seems pretty likely. I mean, who is faster than him, really?
It's, there's no... You're in a post-achievement phase of a experience that's going to take a lot. It's going to simultaneously take a lot out of you physically whilst building you up if you give it time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
no,
I think you're playing it right. You know,
I've got I'm just no two words about it. I'm not peak fitness right now, but it's all quite external. I forgot about this. When I was saying about the week, I did those two long runs.
Yeah,
and then I went down to get my feet checked out.
All right.
My chiropodist last Tuesday, Wednesday it must have been.
Yeah.
And because I had this bit on my foot that I couldn't see. I mean, between me not bending and no one can see under their foot, it's like right at the front of the ball of my feet behind my toes.
Right.
I could feel something. So I thought, I'll go and get it checked out. And I was saying I had this soreness in the ball of my foot that I thought might be bursitis.
Yes.
Like I had in the other foot.
Yes.
It wasn't bursitis.
All right, okay.
No.
Was it something else, itis?
It wasn't itis at all.
Okay, right.
It was, I went to see the chiropodist, and my usual chiropodist was running late. So the other guy said, "Do you mind if I see you?" I said, "Oh, no, great, let's go ahead." He said, "What is it about?" And I told him about this thing on my foot, and he looked at it and said, "Oh, yeah, well, it's a corn."
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. So that's just a bit more basic, isn't it? That sort of
Yeah, old school, really.
Yeah.
Although I didn't really explain it. I didn't really know, rather. It's, apparently, a corn is to a callus what fork lightning is to sheep lightning. Okay. So instead of being a long ongoing rub, it's a long ongoing impact spot.
Okay.
But yeah. It's still basically a hard bit of anyway.
So it's just it's because it's sort of overuse on a particular bit of skin sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And that's right, and I ran the race to the stones with this pretty serious corn. But you know, I don't like to I'm not trying to I'm not a person to call myself a hero.
You're just putting it out there.
And you've got a corn? How are you doing this? Anyway, then it was good because particularly this guy I was talking to, he's a very gently spoken guy with a right sense of humour. And he was like, "Oh, it's no big deal." But there was a sense that they kind of hit a silent alarm and the whole building was going,
yeah.
And he kind of pulled out a knife and said, "You're not on blood thinners, are you?"
Right. Like, so he chopped it off.
You expect me to bleed out?
So he just chopped it off, did
straight
it?
In. It was like, nice. Upper, and then,
wow.
You know, that's cross.
Yeah.
It was like a. Before I knew it, I was in a small foot operation. And then he went, he's like, "You might want to look away." It's like, "You're talking about the underside of my foot."
Yeah.
"I can't not look away."
Yeah.
"I can't look at."
Yeah.
"You might want to look at, but well, you won't be able to unless you're super."
There's an awful lot of people that have posted that. You do that sort of stuff does really well. I know people who spend
in
just
the Dr. Pimple Popper.
Yeah, totally.
Oh
yeah.
God, I can't even think of it. I mean, it was so, you know, it's so funny. It's so minor. It didn't hurt. But he was like, "Oh, I'm giving it a go. Giving it." Oh, he's like, "Oh," he said. Okay, this is going to get a little bit medical now. So be
you
ready.
Get medical.
Trigger warning. He said, "It's not. It's quite. I've got. I think I've sorted it out, but it's got its own blood supply."
He said what?
"It's got its own blood supply."
Oh.
And I said...
"The corn! It's running itself!"
I said, "Has it developed its own intelligence?" And he said, "Yes, sir, malevolent intelligence." I told you I had a nice dry wit. But they said, "I can't really see it. I need the good lenses." And he called in the woman who had been too busy to see me. And she came in with his like special lenses.
Right.
Like the toy cleaner in Toy Story 2. And he was going to borrow them, but then she stayed. So now I've got both of them.
Wow.
Talking about it, saying, him and PC saying, "Nothing to worry about, but just let us know if you've experienced
a small crowd develops outside the office, whispering.
I can hear the internet kind of bubbling.
He's here, the corn man's here. Race to the stones, corn man."
And the other day, and then he kept, once it was done, well, first of all, they said we couldn't really do it, could have come back.
Right.
But he said, he put a little dressing on it, and he said, "There shouldn't be any ill effects," and he put a big bit of dressing over that. He said, "You know, just leave this dressing on for a day or two and then change it, keep it clean. But there shouldn't be any effects. If there are, very, very vanishingly unlikely, but do call 111 or. And, but there shouldn't be any ill effects." And kept doing that, bandaging and saying,
"Yeah, yeah, there shouldn't be
anything to worry about." Yeah. For about the next 10 minutes,
which only increased your anxiety.
He put about 8 bandages on and told me,
"Oh look,
I wouldn't need to call an ambulance about 36 times."
Oh, look, we've managed to, run directly
is
into
this
the
surprise. You
to the kids' play area.
Invited us to
oh no, there's a bit of space here. There's a bit of space.
Yeah, photo. We did our little.
There's a kid's
the idea is that we cut the back and stay on the grass in
Prairie
Park.
There's a kid's summer park, yeah.
But it's summer sports.
Yeah.
So, good on them.
Yeah,
doing the good stuff.
Great stuff.
We're deep in the summer holidays now. So, yeah, so I couldn't run immediately. That was why I ran a lot at the beginning of last week, then nothing, then went back to park.
Right. So it's good to... I'm pleased you had a bit of a rest. Because you've been thrashing it for quite a while, and you've had a great run.
Yeah.
And 60 miles in 2 days is—it's not to be sniffed at, is it?
No, but
it really isn't.
The part of me that found it not particularly impactful, I do want to kind of curate that. I don't want to lean on it and go, "Ah, I did it. I can stop now." You know.
Right.
I'm a little bit paranoid about losing my momentum. Well, but I won't. And the other thing is...
What do you mean? You're paranoid about losing fitness and kind of...
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Just losing, falling out of habits, you know.
Yeah.
I got a 10K lined up for Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And I always knew it was quite soon after. It was just when it would fit in. Watch out. And, I mean, I'll go and do it.
Yeah.
And we'll see. And like I say, I was quite happy with my parkrun time at the weekend. So I don't think I'll be getting a 10K PB, but I think I can post a respectable time.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the journey from here. What I want to do in the slow game, in a slow and sensible way, is to start building up
for your
distance at pace.
Right.
So we start, it goes 5K, 10K, and on from there.
Yeah.
Because the ideal is, yeah, by the time I do another marathon, is to be...
Fit.
To not fade. So try and take some... I know they're different headspaces. I mean, unlike before, we actually do know now. But you can take... Surely you can take some wisdom from the one into the other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I kind of... I'm sure you can, but it strikes me... The more I think about it, how radically different they are.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
In terms of mindset, in terms of just the whole, I don't know, just the whole experience.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
just sort of.
I think the thing is that's
not
that's
about pace at all, is it really?
True. I think that they are massively different, but I am not.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I can see that.
This is the link.
You're a kind of bridge between the two, Rick.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I've got a kind of, well, I'm going to do it this way. Attitude and a distance and pace body, and I think between them I can find if there is a little ellipse in the middle of the Venn diagram, that's where I'm going to be.
Yeah, it's that kind of, you know, 61, 62 miles over 2 days is it's an ultra is defined as anything over a marathon.
Yeah.
So 50K is like the shortest ultra you can do. So two together. It's two short ultras that you've done back to back.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. So there's not that much. It's not like a 100 miler or something. Do you know what I mean? There's obviously some correlation, but it's that time on your feet thing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
With ultras, it's that sort of five, six, seven hours.
Yeah, and in a funny kind of way, the most important thing is quite a small thing, which is really fundamental in my brain, which is running quite a long way on consecutive days.
Yeah.
You know, that's the... Just quite a long way, rather than really, really far.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I can remember running.
Just getting used to it.
When I was already doing marathons, then half marathons and stuff, when I go for a run in the week, I would never touch 10 miles without it being a big plan.
Right.
And I would never run one day and then run the next day.
Yeah.
Whereas now I know.
You're getting used to it.
I can handle that stuff.
Yeah.
And you actually see the practice of it, that the, you know, when I think about a race that stands, I often think about how... When I ran a marathon and ran another one 2 weeks later, and ran the second one slightly slower.
Yeah.
Just the difference was not committing to do it as fast as I could.
Yeah.
It was by no means a slow marathon.
That's
and then just came over the finish line, A, maintaining pace, B, not feeling like I needed an ambulance.
Yeah.
That's kind of where the ultra head for me began.
Yeah, it's sort of. Working out, you know, that sort of the thing about doing this. What I was thought about at the time about doing two marathons close together was you sort of don't get the fastest out of either sort of thing. It felt
yeah,
a bit
right.
So it's a bit different if you do want to focus on the one, you know, just a one-off race and kind of that kind of not fading and really leaving it all out there sort of thing. But these are hard events, you know, you need to be careful to just
take them seriously.
Well, mentally rest a little bit before you go again. You've got August, September to do some real, and you've already got loads of miles in your legs.
Yeah, and I also think, and this is really much more sort of basic, but by the way, did you notice the absolute stillness as we came into Alexandra Palace Park then? So busy with it, across so many busy roads.
It's very quiet.
Vans
here,
outside
isn't it?
Houses, it's all happening. We just, as soon as we stepped onto the grass there, just felt the kind of...
Yeah, it's nice. It's really nice.
Really nice to be here. I can't where I was going to say. It was really incredibly wise.
Going for just the one simple event.
Oh, yeah. What it was is that funny thing that we still have. I think it dates from school, where you don't, where you think of the summer as being a near limitless amount of time. And it's actually, by the time you think of it, it's about a month. You know what I mean?
Well, it's
like even now, I don't want to get into it, but they keep saying the Conservatives will decide over the summer.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, it is the summer.
Yes.
And I know they mean the summer recess, and I know they mean August, but that is how we all think. You know, it's like when you think about your comedy gigs in the autumn, you think, oh, well, I got that weekend in so-and-so in September. And it seems like it's about 4 months away. And you look around, it's like, it's the week after next.
Well, it's kind of, there's always a weird thing about August, isn't it? August is the summer month, although ironically not always the best weather.
No.
But it's the month where sort of like nothing gets done, no plans, no, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
everyone's off everywhere.
And particularly these days, I mean, summer, you can get some really nice weather at the end of these holidays. Whitsun holiday has always been, and also when summer arrives in June, like you were saying, well, when we're out there and it's like, it just arrives, and like, wow, yeah, it's summer now. And the world takes ages to catch up.
Yeah.
That's always when spring watches first on TV, like 8 weeks too late. As you can see, these chicks,
yeah,
well, they've hatched and gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And anyway, I think because of that Park One countdown, and in general on the fear of it, and I think the dialogue online, because a lot of people are doing the London Marathon in October, that people are really thinking about how many weeks it is till October. And
yeah,
I think that's very, it's a little thing, but it's handy.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Just the one.
Just the
one. Just here for another one. Oh, there's one. What a minute. Two for joy. Two for joy.
It's all kind of.
See that bird there? What are you? Is that just a lump of rubbish pretending to be a bird?
That's a bird. All the green's faded away to a yellowy brown, hasn't it, on the grass?
Yeah. I was saying that in Finsbury Park yesterday. It's like between the in a place like this, between the festivals and the big gigs and the incredibly hot weather, the grass is dead.
It's a lot of trampling.
Oh, the grass is dead.
A lot of trampling going on.
This Saturday just gone, Orbital and the Happy Mondays played here.
Oh, nice.
So it's tempting to get down here and try and recreate something. But
have you been gigging much?
No.
Right.
No. I've been working. That's been quite surreal, actually. And it's not a complete coincidence that it happened straight after Race to the Sands, but neither is it. Was it entirely deliberate? I had the beginning of the summer holidays. We thought we might go on a proper holiday.
Right.
And this weekend coming, it's my daughter's birthday. So I ring-fenced the weekends early on and didn't off them up. And then It turns out we
offer
are.
Offer them up to the comedy gods.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it turns out that I could have done, and we were kind of around. Although this last weekend, I was like, oh, I should get a weekend. And it was like my old works party.
All right.
And my wife said, why don't you don't do that? We can do nice things like people do. And I was like, you're right. But
like the people.
Yeah,
like the people do.
And I've also got work on. I'm directing. I've been writing. I did a playthrough of a new game show the other day.
Right.
So it's not like I'm kicking my heels. But in terms of actually going and doing stand-up shows, I've got about 3 weeks off.
Right.
I don't know how to... It's all very...
It's
all like you say. You're going to say, that's great that you've got time off after your Razor Stones.
Well, no, but I mean...
I've just been wrestling with who the hell I am.
Absolutely. I get that. I totally get that. I mean, I'm more sort purpose. Of more sort of time off running, I mean. Yeah.
I did a little... Straight after Razor Stones, it helped me take a week off because I went off on a little mini tour. Did two nights in Dorset. In Dorset?
Yeah.
I'd heartily recommend it. Then a gig at an amphitheatre in Gloucestershire. Very nice. And well done, me. And then, where was the Saturday? Somewhere else. Birmingham. All in the heat. They were absolutely lovely. So I kind of filled my tank with proper sets out on the road. But then it's... and I'm back doing a Glee Club weekend soon. But it's definitely a break, and the whole thing is
it's part of that summer thing, isn't it?
It's a Christmas factor. I'm going to come mid-August. I'm going to be looking at myself, working out who I am as a comedian. It's going to be like Gandalf when he wakes up on top of the mountain.
Gandalf, yes. That was my name. I am Gandalf the White.
I'll be Rob the Grey. What about you? You've been on international tour.
Yeah, well, I went to Dubai. I mean, in terms of running, I did quite a lot of treadmill stuff actually in Dubai, which was actually really... It was really nice. It sort of... I managed to reframe the Race of the Stones I mean, at the very least, it was a good long run.
Yeah.
So it gave me a little bit of strength, and it didn't completely break me.
Well, as so many people have said, lots of people said, well done to both of you. You're both ultra runners now, which you can imagine how much that hurts me. But they're right.
It was it means that I've had two really long runs.
Yeah.
And so I just went on the treadmill and really enjoyed that sort of treadmill thing of just going up a smooth gradient on a treadmill for a while.
So give us some stats. How long on a treadmill? How many times?
I probably did 5 treadmill runs over 10 days.
Yep.
And
each one of a distance or time of about?
Going from 20 minutes to 45 minutes.
Yes.
And I'd be doing things like starting off really slow, starting off 10 kilometres per hour.
Yeah.
And then going up by 0.1 kilometre an hour every 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And doing that till I was about 14 kilometres.
And to kind of keep the dream alive every now and again, you'd dehydrate yourself to the point of physical danger. Just dive off it. See someone much faster and fitter than you and just run.
And just sprint off with them.
At the same speed as them for an hour.
Sprint off with them.
That kind of thing.
But it was... and then I was doing... By the end, I was doing like 20-minute tempos. And it was, you can just feel yourself getting a bit stronger because you can rely on the treadmills. Because it's just so steady.
Thing,
it's just steady, isn't
the
it?
The quiet little learning you had behind everything at the Race of Stones was that your fitness was an issue, but your injuredness wasn't.
Yeah, although it still is a bit. I mean, my right leg, it's just, I've got a little bit of sore tendon that just hasn't, I haven't let it fully recover.
Yeah.
It's not hurting now, but I can feel it.
Yeah.
So that's something that needs to magically get better. but yeah, it was good fun. And I also, because the way the gigs run there, it was a chance to eat loads of fish and veg. I didn't have carbs for like 4 or 5 days.
Oh, nice.
The weight just flies off, doesn't it?
That is incredible.
If you don't have any carbs at all.
We've got two psychological things to look at here. One, hotels with buffets is an opportunity for you to basically Atkins it up.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah, I know.
I've literally been to Dubai and put on a stone in the week in the
past. Yeah, kind of.
In the healthy era, Mark.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was with a comedian called Pierre Holland.
Yeah, yeah, your friend, lovely guy, the musical comedian you decided to go to Dubai with. I know.
And then, yeah. And it just became a joke that we were
that
we that weren't having
there, that you
no
went with
that,
him.
That we weren't having carbs. And we just kept going with it. And then one dinner he relented and had five chips. So he became Pierre Five Chips.
Nice.
And yeah, it was just not, and I didn't drink for five, 6 days in the middle of it. And all in all, I've come back a little bit trimmer.
It was a little bit mare clinic,
which
wasn't
is
it,
nice.
Really?
Yeah, it was lovely.
Well, okay, so that food thing made a bit of sense, but that's still weird. Here's the other question before we get into the wider tour aspect. What do you think about when you're on a treadmill? Were
that's
you in,
a
t- you
that's
in
a
that
tough
one where you can see the skyline through the closed blinds? That's
quite a tough one. I mean, that was a good thing about just gently increasing the pace, 0.1 every 30 seconds. Just gave you something to vary it constantly.
Yeah.
Because it is, I find it very hard to do anything more than 25, 30 minutes on a treadmill.
Yeah.
It's... Yeah, it's just tedious, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just tedious. So.
And that thing of the fiddling with the numbers being a distraction, technically it makes sense, but for me, that would be a nightmare.
Right.
You know, to the idea of thinking about the numbers and the buttons being the cure.
Right.
No, it's like I'm looking for distraction. I want something.
But you'd have music on, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but that's the thing. I've got a theory about treadmills. I'd have music on, and in my time, I've also, in hotels, experimented with taping my tablet to the machine and watching a film.
Right.
When I'm trying to get the miles
yes.
in.
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
But I think that I think it's treadmills. There's a well, okay. There's two things here. One, I genuinely need that distraction. You know, that a run is the music or the conversation with you is a really important dampener on obsessive cycles of thought that can feel very oppressive for me.
Right.
And two, I think that when you're on a treadmill, this theory I developed while I was out there once, you have to run a, what am I was, you have to run a little subroutine that stops you falling off the treadmill.
A little
bit,
yeah.
It doesn't quite square, like when we're running here, even though we are aware of the parameters of the path and the stones underfoot, you can do all of that subconsciously.
Yeah.
It's like driving, you know? And but when you're on a treadmill, because it's slightly odd, you have to kind of keep a weather eye on it, like
just
some animal that sleeps with one eye open.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Sleep with one eye open! And then
Or you step on the front bit of the treadmill and it makes that thudding noise. Or
yeah, yeah. Or you slip up. I nearly fell over at the gym watching The NeverEnding Story once years ago. But anyway, I think it makes it... You can't listen to music or watch films. You can.
But you can't quite focus on it.
You might as well be reading the script. Do you know what I mean? It hasn't got... You can't drift off into a kind of lyrical, creative headspace.
Yeah.
You're just kind of... It's like, yeah, it's like listening to a lecture about the song or reading a book about the film. You get the information's going in, but the ability to fully unlock and distract is not available on the treadmill.
Yeah, it's funny. I embrace, because I run so much off watch.
And you don't use headphones, of course.
And don't use headphones. I embrace the numbers game of it.
Yeah.
The sort of going up on the incline and the... I just quite like the uniformity of it as a contrast. I won't like it all the time.
I think it's very, you know, obviously we are different people in life and have different attitudes to, you know, ways of running. But I think specifically this in particular is something that I might be able to do better if I didn't start running so late on.
Right.
You know, because I totally, on principle, I get that. The idea, well, I can run without headphones on my own and enjoy it. I did it a lot at the Race of the Stones. And I like the idea of almost juggling the map, you know, playing the run to be the entertainment, as it were.
Yes.
But I just can't do it. Maybe I just don't trust myself looking my run in the eye in a way that I would if I'd become a proper runner as a teenager and kind of put those ways of thinking about it on the hard drive, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same way, my kids, I don't know, they'll always be able to talk in a literate way about films, because it's what we've been doing while they're at this kind of age, you know. Not that other people can't, but it's not a conversation you can start having when you're 36.
I quite liked... I'm all right. I'm fine.
Okay.
You're off.
Oh, heck.
Nice.
You can see the swans and unicorns too, right? Chirping out at Ali Pali Ponds. Nice. Great running conditions at the moment, aren't they? Just slightly cool.
Yes.
Overcast, but still beautiful summer weather. I went out last night to the show and in a t-shirt. I was on the way home. I was like, it's a weird feeling. What's this weird feeling? I was a bit cold.
Yeah. It's still sort of... You could just about get away with it, even though it started to rain a bit, though, couldn't you? It was still... I like treadmills for... If you're just getting your legs used to a different kind of tempo that I hadn't had for ages, like...
Yeah.
You know, four minutes a kilometre or whatever.
Yep.
I couldn't do that on the ground there.
Yeah.
Because treadmill is just jumping, isn't it? It's jumping.
Now, you see, when we started out, and this goes right back to a sort of practice running commentary me and Paul recorded in the weeks before we started doing the podcast. So we're talking about 352 episodes ago.
Wow.
And we were on the...
That's when you realise how far we've come, eh? Isn't it? If we'd known then what we know now,
yeah,
who'd have thought?
We haven't
5-6 years later,
far, have we?
Sub-3 marathon. You got your ultra. It's great, isn't it? Journeys.
Comedians seem to think they've changed. What's the bridesmaid's quote? Because people can't change, really, can they? But they can, though, can't they? But they can't.
I think this podcast has documented various changes in our running
and our lives.
Stories, yeah. And lives.
But there we were on this boat. Sorry, ship.
On a boat.
In the Caribbean. And
we did a lot of treadmill stuff there, didn't we?
And and also the treadmills were set so that we were definitely saying, I've definitely only gone about 2K. And it's like, 3K?
Yeah.
You're the fastest person on the boat.
Yeah.
So they were ego bills. But the reason I mentioned this is because
barely alive people.
You put out this, it's just jumping up and down theory at the time. And at the time I thought, Tonk's wisdom, he knows he's running. I never thought of it that way. But actually, I think you're wrong about that. It isn't really just jumping up and down, is it? It's running.
No.
I think we need to get Einstein in on this.
Well, you're not obviously now, the floor's not moving, is it?
Well, the floor underneath your feet is literally moving.
No, but not moving anything like the tempo, is it?
If there's
we're generating our energy with every step that we take. On a treadmill, you're keeping up with the treadmill. That's what you're doing, isn't it? You're not generating energy on each step.
I'm not sure that there's a... I'm not sure that you could... I understand the difference you're describing, and I respect that, but I'm not sure you can express it in terms of physics. But all I've got in my head is...
But you could.
Einstein leaning out of the window of a train and firing a bullet towards the front of the train. Does the bullet go the speed of the bullet plus the speed of the train, or the speed of the bullet from a standing start? And I can't really offer you the answer to this.
It's a hell of a lot easier to run fast on a treadmill because the floor's generating the pace. You've just got to stay with it.
Okay.
No, but that's true, though, isn't it? That's true.
I don't know if it's true. You keep saying it. I don't know if it is true.
Well, isn't that your experience?
You're
not generating the pace on the treadmill, are you? The treadmill generates the pace and you're staying with it.
I don't know if that's different.
Of course it's different.
No, that's what you think.
No, it's not. It's actually true because the floor's not moving.
But okay, look at it this way. If you got on the treadmill and didn't start it up...
Yeah.
That would be easier than if you did start it up.
Obvs.
Yeah, so...
So you're moving... You move when the treadmill moves.
Yeah. But what if you didn't know? What if the treadmill was 18 miles across? Would you be doing anything different, really? I mean, surely it just affects the wind flow past your body.
The Earth doesn't move like that. The Earth moves incredibly slowly, doesn't it? As we experience it.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. You might just be talking about the way you experience it. I literally am unsure of the physics here. And I'd like to know if there's any physicists can come down either side of the discussion here. I'd like to hear it, get a bit of Einsteinian theory on this. Because you can certainly come off the treadmill tired, right? With the big sweat on.
Yeah, because you're keeping up with it. If it was going slow, you wouldn't be tired, was it? Would you?
No, I don't think that's the difference. This is it. This is the beginning and the end of the podcast. It's the treadmill discussion.
No, it's not. It's I literally don't know what you're on about. The treadmill move, you can be bounding like that with a really fast treadmill.
Yeah.
And you're not generating pace or energy. You're just staying with a treadmill.
Yeah.
And it's good and useful and good fun. But it's nowhere near as hard because you're not generating forward motion yourself.
Is that physics or is it just perception?
I think it's physics.
Okay, that's... I know.
Because it's moving at pace. The earth beneath your feet is moving at pace.
Yeah, but it's not helping you in any way. If you stood still, you'd fall off the back.
Yeah, of course, but you're not, so you're jumping. You're jumping on it.
But it's not helping you, it's challenging.
Of course it's helping you to run at a fast pace. Because it's running at a fast pace itself, and you're just staying with it.
Yeah.
You can't run faster than the treadmill.
Yeah, you could. You can't run slower. You can't golf up to the bit of the front.
I think physics out there, get in touch.
Yeah, physicists, we obviously need you to sell this one.
There is...
So, did you, and this is a question I wanted to ask, but also probably a good way to put that one to bed for a while, is did you do any running anywhere else other than on the treadmill?
No.
Too hot?
Just on the treadmill. Yeah, just too hot.
When I was out on Hackney Marshes going, this is probably unwise. And what about the shows and the general
Dubai experience? The shows were really good fun, actually. All the gigs were great. I've still got this thing going with a voice. Losing the sort of upper range of my voice.
Yeah, which hurts you when you get to the silly bits.
Yeah, but I sort of... I just stayed with it, really, and just sort of... Just Thank adapted. You. And I just felt increasingly better as the week went on, getting funnier. Getting funnier. Well, no, just not forcing it. Just not forcing anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Drilling the ideas more from a position of not moving and being so manic.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just felt better and better, actually.
So you feel like the restrictions of your voice are actually leading you to an interesting place.
It sort of helps me, yeah.
Performance-wise, that's interesting.
It sort of helps, yeah, sort of...
Tunnel. Hey, have you realised they fixed the light in that tunnel? I don't remember the light being on in that tunnel. That's nice. Did you see the light at the end of the tunnel?
We got there.
And was it just the two of you?
No, it was me, Pierre Hollins, and a female American comic called Lisa Eldorado.
Oh, nice.
It was good fun to
I
have.
I used to enjoy her sitcom.
It was good, yeah. It was good fun to have a bit of, just a bit of contrast and different comics. Yeah, it was a laugh. It was a real laugh. I mean, the audience is, there's less of them there.
Yeah.
But they're sort of nicer as a result, actually.
Yeah.
But they are, obviously, the crowds are... And there's sort of... The experts there seem a little bit sweeter than they used to be. They've lost that kind of bolshy kind of... I don't know, they used to be...
Impress us?
Yeah, they used to be a bit... I don't know, a bit sort of strident and blatant.
Yeah.
But now, you know, in the sort of... heydays in the pomp of Dubai
when
everyone was earning shed loads.
Yeah, right.
And now it's more like the people are still there because they like Dubai or for whatever reason.
It's kind of post-Dubai.
Yeah, and it's quite nice.
It was like, we've won. We're on to something that no one else knows about.
Absolutely, yeah. It was a little bit, could be a bit uncomfy sometimes.
After
but it's
these dogs, let's change sides so I can get you, us with a view as we go along. We're on the Parkland Walk North, the secret view across to the wonderful sights of London. Very nice. Very nice. And it's... the camera's letting me down, of course. That's what happens when you're trying to take photos when you're running. It's good, actually. I saw an amazing dog having such a good time just before I saw you on the other Parkland Walk. There was like a red spaniel-type dog I suppose it was doing something logical, like tracking squirrels or something.
Yeah.
Just the joy of it, you know. Came running straight towards me and running straight away from me. Went into the woods on one side. Yeah. And then seconds later, just sort of flash across. It's like, they're here. There's something here.
Where have you been?
This is so exciting. I'm going left, I'm going right, I'm going forwards, backwards. I'm just a dog. So,
yes, it left me, and it's quite nice to just have a few days to just focus on your gigs, you know. It's just quite nice.
Well, yeah, it sounds like you come back feeling like you've got some, you know, some run power and some comedy power.
A little bit of that, yeah.
So what's next in terms of running and comedy?
Well,
but you're going on, you'll be on a break, you're not doing gigs in...
I've got a couple of gigs this week, but I'm actually meeting a guy this afternoon to chat about film scripts.
Oh, yeah, excellent.
He's a guy from London Film School who's like a sort of script consultant.
Yeah.
So I'm going to sit with him. I'm meeting him in Highgate Woods, actually.
Nice.
Going to have a little walk around and go through it and then just sort of...
Run around. He's like, oh, don't run. Yeah. I brought my notes. Yeah. Come on, run with me, mate.
Yeah. And then holiday and just take... And just sort of have a look at the autumn from there, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If I can keep fit, I'll do some events in the autumn.
It's a funny old thing with running and comedy and probably many another thing, how sometimes doing it with a mildly heavy schedule can really improve your game. And sometimes not doing it at all can really improve your game.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a balancing act, isn't it?
Yeah, it does feel... I don't know whether it's a... summer thing, and because things tend to, as you've said, sort of fracture and get a bit more amorphous, but the circuit feels ever more sort of slightly tenuous, doesn't it?
Yeah.
As a, just a kind of genuine some of the, you don't want to talk about it because you don't want to create it, but some of the big clubs are suffering in a way that you wouldn't expect sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. Things
that's
could,
just that's just the reality.
You could rely on.
Yeah, things
like they might be fading away.
Things are shifting.
And also, yeah, it's a combination. It's a dangerous time because it's always a wobbly time of year for comedy.
It is, yeah.
And one of the reasons the Edinburgh Festival Fringe exists is it's somewhere for everyone to go while the gigs all sort of take a break. You know?
Yeah,
that's a simplistic way of looking at it, but it's certainly part of the rhythm.
Yeah,
and then in this era where to have any kind of artsy job, you're kind of expected to be privately funded one way or another.
Yes.
You know, the idea of making a living out of it is you should retrain in cyber, you know.
Unfortunately, my sponsor's relocated to Naples.
Oh, no.
He's gone back to his castle, taking his gold with him.
Yeah.
I'm forced to make it on my own.
Do you have to say his name three times to come back, or is that a different story? Thank you.
Thank you.
Into Highgate Wood.
Yeah, I don't know how people are affording Edinburgh.
No, I know.
It's just sort of...
I think you basically have to have found a way around it. You know, I'm going up there with the shows I'm directing, and I'm not going to stay anywhere.
Right.
It's too expensive, so...
So you just sofa, soap hopping.
A sofa for three nights. You can't do that for 3.5 weeks.
No.
Particularly if it's your business, if you're there trying to...
To excel.
Build a career. And
yes, yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, I wonder what it's going to be like up there.
And you're seen as a bit of a... It's seen as sort of raining on Edinburgh's parade to point this out.
Yeah.
People say, what do you... Come on, but surely we're all having a good laugh up there, and it's all sort of... But it's like, it has to be feasible.
Part of all this stuff is the mindset, isn't it? Look at the woods, how lovely.
It is beautiful, isn't it? Absolutely gorgeous.
Part of the problem is the mindset that is slow to change. You know, these systems that run these things, when things change, they can be too slow to respond.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
There was big trouble. People would have seen in the paper and stuff about the Edinburgh Fringe doing the app this year.
Yeah.
Now, you know, there's... Yeah, that does seem really short-sighted of them. And also, it does seem like they were cheeky about it, because they said, oh, we can't do it. It's going to cost £100,000 to do it again, and we haven't got it. It's like, I don't know if that's true. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but they maybe should have worn the axe.
Right.
All this stuff is a big conversation. But the fundamental thing a friend of mine said, and I think she was right, was they didn't get how important it was when they decided not to do it.
Yes.
They didn't know what they had.
Yes.
Because it's an app, because it's a thing from the future. They didn't give it their full respect. Because the way the app works for you non-comedy types, this thing is, people really genuinely would, I think I might go and see this, or I couldn't get into that, or whatever.
But can I go and see this?
We've just finished our lunch.
And I need a quick response.
What's starting near me in 20 minutes?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the app would you sell them tickets to a show nearby. And
that's
I can remember this from being at the Edinburgh Fringe in the 90s and going to the Fringe office window when there were few enough shows that you could put them all in the Fringe office window and say, oh, look, that one. Yeah, we can get there. It's just started. It's got an amusing title. We'll go. You know, and literally, I went to see Omid Jalili, and probably wouldn't be a stand-up today if I hadn't seen that show. You know?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And that's how the Fringe is supposed to work. But they were so in their rhythm of we are the Fringe and the whiff of new technology, the lack of prioritising other people's points of view. They just threw it away. It keeps taking me back to the Jurassic Park quotes before you even knew what you had. You stamped in an alarm track and you're selling it, you're selling it.
I mean, that just sounds perfect, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For people selling tickets late, you know, and sort of.
And then people who you haven't heard of get audiences.
Yeah.
Because for years, I mean, probably forever, but it felt like a change. You read in the paper about all these great acts going to Edinburgh that are going to be great. And everyone thinks, oh, good. And they buy tickets for them and then they go to them. And you kind of think, what's the point of the rest of it, you know?
Yeah.
You need at least, every now and again, you need a surprise, a word-of-mouth success.
Yes.
I remember when Flight of the Conchords were at Edinburgh, and just as the month went on, various comedians would say, have you seen him? Have you seen Flight of the Conchords? I see Jimmy Carr, and he's like, I've just bought the CD.
Yeah.
And so, like, quite late on, I was like, oh, we go and see them, and you go and see them. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're great, and they're in a little venue I've never been in before, you know?
Yeah, that sense of, I remember the year that Rod Gilbert broke through.
Yeah.
And sending love to Rob, by the way.
Yeah, here's to Rod,
his recent diagnosis. So it's
being looked after.
Very hopeful.
By a charity that he's
done a lot of work for.
He has raised so much money for.
Yes, but so bless him and good luck with him. I remember when he had his first Edinburgh, where he really broke through with that kind of exasperated, sort of ranty voice of his.
Yeah.
And it was just so exciting, and he was so excited. He was like, I can barely sleep, I just can't sleep.
He was just like that sort of, to look back and think how much that changes things, you know, quickly.
Yeah.
He became part of the comedy furniture of the nation.
To see
he was necessary, you know, a year before that, that wasn't there, was it? That voice.
To see him just exploding into it and sort of hanging around before the show goes on, just drinking coffee and getting really excited. It was like, that must exist on some level, surely, but I don't know.
Yeah, you hope so. I mean, I think everyone, you know, we've been quite down on it. It is the first full-size Fringe post-pandemic restrictions, you know.
Yes.
There's a lot of people going up. There's a lot of great shows, a lot of shows that would have been written 6 months have been written in 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Some people will have squandered that opportunity. But others
will
be at their very best.
Yeah.
There's some great people. As usual, there's old and new. You know, there's people, Ian Stone's doing Edinburgh for the first time in ages.
Yeah.
And Angela Barnes will be there.
Old Stoney's a real recommend doing the Free Fringe. Just a fantastically match-fit circuit comic.
He just knows how
to. Who will make you laugh for an hour, I'm telling you.
He'll be so relaxed. His jokes will be so well-turned.
Yeah.
He'll make you feel like he's not even trying.
Yeah.
Frank Skinner's back at Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And then loads of people who've never been before who would get there who were really good. You know, there's loads of great comedians on the up and up.
And if you can't see them at the show, they will be sleeping on the street afterwards.
Yeah, that's right.
So give them a bit of change.
Yeah, if you can't if you don't see them now, they won't be comedians anymore by Christmas. And this is a subject we've been around before, but it's kind of weird, isn't it, to not be those guys anymore. It is a little lens on getting older.
Yes.
Because we both, probably at different times, lived for several years in a model where
Edinburgh was it.
Go back to Edinburgh, that's what you do. Give shape to the whole year.
Yeah.
In a way which running events do now, I suppose.
For a few years. I mean, I haven't done a show since like 2007. I mean, I mean, Stoney's like late 50s.
Yeah.
Obviously, his kids have left home or whatever. And I just couldn't imagine it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Good luck to him. Fair play. Enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, exactly.
Enjoy it. He'll get a lot out of it.
He's the other side of the responsibility, but boys.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Because on the other side of things, time moves fast. You know, the time when we were in Edinburgh, when I'm up there next week, it's going to... I'll be in touch with my memories from decades ago as if they were yesterday, you know.
Yeah. So you feel right. You feel like you could go and... You've got the creative juice in you at the moment to do an Edinburgh show,
really
to do something like that.
And I think the funny thing about this is that as a comedian, it's actually always true that you one writes slow. You know?
Yeah.
You can blast out a load of new material, but it will. That's just a way of getting your next 5 to 10 minutes of material. If you write loads, you will cut more. It's a gradual thing. But having said that, it's a long time since I've gone. Times have changed. There's been long periods without gigs. And I just feel like my act is different now, and I've got new bits.
Yeah, same here.
Without having forced them too much.
Yes, yeah.
And then that gets you to a second point where you think, well, actually, now I've got whatever. Say I've got a new half hour and I want to do a 45-minute set. I actually do feel quite inspired to write the other 10, 15 minutes, you know. Whereas if from a standing start, you wouldn't think, oh, I want to write some new jokes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just becoming a bit more organic. Just
my act's changed quite a lot since coming back.
Yes.
After lockdown.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
So, in other words, we love to go on tour next year, guys. But on the other hand, when you get in touch and say we'd love to see that, we're ready to book tickets.
Yeah.
Just be aware that we generally get a good 6 to 12 of those messages. That doesn't really change our plans. But who knows? Who knows what will happen in 2023?
Yeah, it's funny that sort of new material thing, because I find it popping out everywhere at the moment on stage. Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice phase. It's sort of, you know, after that sort of bitty restart post-pandemic and then you gig a bit more, it just takes you a while, doesn't it, to really relax and work out how you've changed a little bit. Because everyone changed in that year and a half.
Everyone. Didn't they? Exactly. Again, another comedy thing is, I remember when I started out in comedy, I had a couple of you were saying about your patron with the gold in the palace in Naples, a couple of really good promoters who really helped me out.
Yeah.
Really celebrated my work and pushed me forward. And I was thinking, it's such a shame that these two really lovely, helpful people in comedy are such a crazy.
Right.
Just such mad people.
Yeah.
And then over time I thought, you know, I think everyone is who runs a comedy club. They're just the...
It's a mad thing to
easier
do,
easier to
it?
Read.
Yeah.
You know, and as such, they're the good ones. And I think that's the same with lockdown. Just, it has had an absolutely seismic effect on every individual. And the dangerous ones are the ones who appear to be completely unsolid.
Unchanged by it, yeah.
Because they're the ones who can end up with their George on Seinfeld's dead moment. Serenity now!
So we jog into the heath.
Past the posh houses.
Yes.
Actually, that was it's been really nice, hasn't it, coming up that way, coming through the woods. You can feel the coolness of it. I don't think we need to go too far around the heath. I think we should be sensible this time and properly come to an end.
Yeah.
Start again. But before we do start again, let's look forward. What are you going to do? What comedy have you got in the autumn?
Well, I've just got... For me, the main... Comedy. Comedy, there's clubs, I'm doing a Jongleurs Legends tour in October.
Of course you are, brilliant. No, but that's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're running comedy fans. Google that and get your tickets. Because these are the shows. If you get those full of people, you'll have a great time.
Yeah, you will. It's a really, really strong bill. I've managed...
Is Jared on that bill?
Jared's on there. Mike Gunn and Ninny Benjamin.
Brilliant. That's a good gig.
Yeah, it's a really good gig. I've entered the Great Yorkshire 10K, the Scarborough 10K.
That's on October the 16th?
Yes. so I'm going to do
it's
that.
It's the Great Yorkshire Pilgrimage, guys. If you're listening and you want to be in Yorkshire on that day, it's the Yorkshire Marathon and the Scarborough 10K. If you can't do either of those, just be in the pub at York Station on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. There's a couple of people already going to that. So that'll be good. So hopefully I'll get into some shape. I'm just sort of ambivalent about whether I want to even try to run fast at the moment. I'm just so concerned with just getting back into running, feeling fit and healthy.
Yeah.
No injuries. My yoga, being stronger.
So a half marathon in September will be too soon for you.
That could be okay. I need to get back to you on that, don't I?
Yeah,
we need to find one.
We need to find one.
But in terms of that sort of getting, sort of trying to run fast over long distances thing, I don't know where I am with that at the moment. I might be sort of totally just trying to run slow over long distances. But it's just, I'm just want to see where I'm at, see how long this tendon continues to irritate me.
Yeah.
And just not get injured for a few months,
That's good.
That would be good.
So, what would you say? You've just given me the fear by saying I'm doing a 10K in October, because I'm doing a 10K on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, and I am, like I said, I've taken a bit of a break.
Yeah.
I feel, aside from sort of external issues, I'm feeling pretty fit.
Yeah.
What am I going to do at this 10K at the weekend? What do you think? It's a run-through, so it's probably a four-lapper.
Right.
How do I access optimal performance?
Is it quite flat?
I think so.
Four-lapper flatter?
It was on the flat side. I don't know.
Right.
It's Hyde Park.
Right,
so
okay.
It could have a bit of gradient.
Right.
But probably not so much that would stop me, as a high Highbury Field Park runner. Yeah. I know about having a bit of a gradient on my on my speed event. Just a little bit. I know it's not.
I would say... I just don't know whether... Obviously, I don't know where you are mentally. I don't know whether mentally you're going to be in a position to want to really thrash yourself over 10K anyway.
Yeah.
I think it's more sort of like a steady effort. Less of a race, more just like a steady, strong effort.
I think you're right.
What I'm saying? It's sort of like in terms of mentality.
What I really want to do is, however I run it, I want the last kilometre to be of a similar pace to the first kilometre.
Absolutely, that's what I think. Yeah, that's what I reckon.
All right, well, I'll do that then.
Yeah.
Easy. And I do all the kilometres really fast.
Yeah. And all the kilometres as fast as possible.
Yeah, if I do them all under 4 minutes, then that's a 40-minute 10K. Great, 2 minutes off the PB. So,
I was chatting to... I bumped into this guy you ran for Heathside yesterday. I hadn't seen him for ages. I said, how's your running going? He said, awful. I said, I'm running like once a month or whatever. I said, I just got injured and then I moved away and I'm doing loads of cycling. And he said, I dropped in on some mates to go for a run. I haven't been for a run for a few months. We were doing eight-minute miles. I just couldn't stay with it. I mean, we're only doing 6 miles, 8 minutes. I'm like, that's quite quick when you haven't been doing any running for 3 months. But the language he was using about
I
just wanted to smash it. I'm smashing it on a bike. I'm smashing it. Everything's getting smashed all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm not in that mindset at the moment.
No, not at all.
I don't want to... I just want to feel strong at the end of runs and races.
Yeah.
It really is that train, don't strain mentality for me at the moment.
Yeah, just trying to keep in life, to keep it positive.
Smash! Yeah. I want to smash it! I smashed it, now I'm smashed! Now they're smashed!
Smashed something. I like... to think of it, the fact that I love running. Running is my life. Leave East on the weekend, reminded me of the 10K
fantastic
tour.
Yeah. Okay.
The Merley World knocked a minute off a 10K PB, taking it to 54 minutes.
Well
something,
done.
Something, you'll excuse me.
Nice.
The Western Burt, I can't remember where it was, I haven't got it written down, but Merley World, another PB, huge, indeed. And then another
well
person
done
getting PB after PB, brilliantly indirect, because always coming via her dad, Stuart Strath.
Oh, yes.
The park run as usual.
Old Strathy.
With his daughter,
well
Abby.
Done.
And she got another PB. And colleagues, still quite significant. She's not just shaving them off. Just faster and faster all the time over 5K. Park run PB, 26 something. Well, anyway, run. Whatever well it run. Was, congratulations. And
and thanks for all your weekend runs that people post as well.
Wonderful.
That's going really strong on Twitter, isn't it?
Again, when
which
you see
really
them
nice.
All, you get such a picture of some people who are deep in ultra training or London Marathon training, some people feeling good, some people not feeling good, some people like saying, you know, running machine Martin said didn't go to parkrun at the weekend, had a bacon sandwich, you know, he still went for a run later in the day. Yeah, but you're looking at different rhythms, different times, and that's it. Just paints such a nice picture, including people who say I was volunteering at the parkrun, or I'm not running at the moment, or just feel like I'm just getting back to it, you know.
Yeah,
it's a wonderful three-dimensional picture of a running community, isn't it? So
yeah it is, it's fantastic.
And we look forward to hearing from all the physicists.
Yeah, to confirm my correct notion.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.